Well, next hour, of course, we are going to be talking about the occult, but when we come back with Pharmacist Ben, we're going to take your phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And by the way, did you know you can get to criticalhealthnews.com from your smartphone as well? You just dial it in through your server there and through your Google or however you get to it at criticalhealthnews.com. And the phone number to call to talk to people about your situation, 1-855-949-7234. We will come back in a moment and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, full hour of your phone calls with Pharmacist Ben as we talk about your health, criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, is there anything people can do to kind of create a resistance to the Zika virus, the mosquito-borne illness?
Absolutely. Strengthen your immune system. This is the key to dealing with infectious diseases. We live in a world where everything wants to eat us, basically. So you got to build up your defenses, and the way to do that is, first of all, surprise, surprise, most of your defensive system is located in the gut, in the intestine. So work on your digestive system. Secondly, you got to calm the body down under conditions of duress, under conditions of survival threat. The immune system is shut down. And this is one of the major reasons why people get sick when they're under stress or when they're depressed or when they're dealing with anxiety issues. So calm the body down. And thirdly, get on a good nutritional supplement program that features vitamin C and vitamin E and the B complex and selenium and zinc and all these wonderful nutrients that are important for strengthening and providing the immune system with the raw materials it needs to do its work.
Ben, since you've been doing this and since you've been helping people, what case can you remember was probably the most heartwarming case you've ever had?
There are so many, but the one that stands out the most was a helicopter pilot who crashed into a forest. He was fighting a forest fire in a helicopter, and he crashed into the fire, and he had these horrible, horrible burns. And his doctor was savvy enough to understand about the importance of nutrition, but he didn't necessarily know what nutrients to use. So I designed a nutritional supplement program for him that featured arginine and vitamin C and protein and essential fatty acids. And he healed not 100%, and he was severely burnt, but pretty darn close to 100%. We gave some topical preparations as well. That's the one thing that comes to mind. But there were a lot of them. There were a lot of kids. There were a lot of people who reversed cancer. There were a lot of them, but that's the one that comes to mind.
All right, let's go to the phones now. Let's pick it up by going to Delbert in Oklahoma City. Hi, Delbert. Go ahead.
Hey, Delbert.
Yes, I have two friends. One has had five concussions. He's military, retired, and they've got him on Capra now for seizures.
Okay.
And they say that his nervous system's falling apart. He can't hardly walk now.
Okay. Well, here's the deal with seizures and seizure disorders. Now, if there's mechanical trauma, it's a little bit trickier, but seizure disorders occur not necessarily when there's mechanical trauma. They can occur when there's inflammation in the brain. One of the most powerful strategies for dealing with seizure disorders is something called the ketogenic diet. In fact, the ketogenic diet is so important for dealing with seizure disorders that it's actually still used by modern medicine when Dilantin and Integritol and other anti-seizure drugs don't work. The ketogenic diet was discovered as an anti-seizure diet back in the early 20th century when scientists noticed that the same chemicals that are produced in the body when we fast are produced when we eat high fat. How do you like that? These chemicals called ketones are produced in the body both when we fast and when we eat high fat. And the ketogenic diet is a high-fat diet that duplicates the anti-seizure properties of fasting. You know, doctors throughout the centuries, as far back as Hippocrates, before Jesus, Plato, Aristotle, Jesus himself in the Bible talked about fasting for seizures. Well, it turns out that fasting generates these chemicals called ketones, and the ketogenic diet, which is a high-fat diet, does the same thing. So I would be using the ketogenic diet, which is a high-fat diet, as I say. Also, the amino acids glycine and GABA are wonderful for seizures. The B-complex in general, I call them the brain vitamins. They're very important. And then there's a mineral called lithium, which can also be helpful. There's wonderful, wonderful non-medical strategies that you can use if you have seizure disorders, although I can't say that if there's mechanical trauma like concussions that they would work as well.
Doc Rawalik talks a lot about selenium.
Yes.
What's its importance?
That one is so important for the heart and for the immune system and for the brain. Selenium is one of the best ways for women to fight hot flashes because it's got anti-estrogenic benefits. Also, you know, autoimmune disease affect mostly women. Some 80% or 90% of autoimmune victims are women, and it's now thought that estrogen is involved, at least poorly processed estrogen, and selenium has powerful anti-estrogenic benefits, which not only make it important for autoimmunity and for dealing with hot flashes, but also make it a very important anti-cancer mineral, especially for estrogenic-type cancers. Selenium is incredible. In fact, there's a disease called Keyshawn's disease, which is a heart disease, a cardiomyopathy, which is cured, literally cured, simply by giving patients selenium.
Next up, we have Tion in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, T. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Yes. My question is regarding migraines and vertigo and just full body pain that I've had going on about two and a half years ever since the vertigo started. It came out of nowhere in the migraines.
Two words to think about with migraines.
And I'm 30. Turned 36 years old, and I don't feel overall. I feel very poor in my health.
Well, you're young, so you could turn this thing around really fast. And also, you're young, so this is not a good place to be. Two words to think about when you have migraine headaches. The first word is the hormone estrogen, and the second thing that you want to think about is food. Food allergies, food intolerances. So when you have migraines, what you want to do is you want to chart them. You want to see when you get them in terms of your menstrual cycle, and you want to see when you get them in terms of the foods you eat. So you keep track of the migraines, and then when you get one, backtrack to where you are in your menstrual cycle and backtrack to where you are in your in terms of what you ate. And what you're going to end up doing is eliminating certain foods and balancing out your hormones, particularly your estrogen. There's many ways to do that. The first thing to think about is progesterone cream. Progesterone is a wonderful way to balance out problems with estrogen. Also, there's a neat supplement called pregnenolone, P-R-E-G-N-E-N-O-L-O-N-E. You can grasp that. Pregnenolone, 100 milligrams a day to 200 milligrams a day, is great for all brain health issues. And then for, as we talked about earlier, selenium is a wonderful way to help balance out estrogen. The last piece of the estrogen puzzle is the digestive system as well, because estrogen is cleared out of the body via the intestine. So making sure you get enough fiber, making sure that your liver is working correctly, making sure that you're making bile or using bile supplements or digestive enzyme supplements can also help protect your body against some of these estrogenic issues like migraine headaches.
What about botulism shots?
You know, that's a medical treatment, and it, you know how it works? It relaxes everything. Migraines are caused by a tenseness, a contraction, a vasoconstriction, a constriction in the blood vessels. All of this is a manifestation of the stress response. The stress response follows estrogen, which is a stress hormone, and digestive toxicity, which represents a stress. So instead of, this is the craziness of the medical model, George, instead of figuring out what is stressing out the body so that the body can naturally relax, the medical model drugs the body into relaxation. Now, if it works for migraine headache, more power to the medical model, if it works. But I'm saying, why do we resort to poisoning the body when all we have to do is figure out what is the body, why is the body under duress? What is going on that's putting this burden on the body and then removing it? And the good news is when you use this strategy, not only do you take care of the migraines, but you add years to your life. With the medical model, you may take care of your symptoms, but you still have the problem, and your demise will be accelerated nonetheless, even if your symptoms are alleviated. So I say, well, let's get rid of the problem in the first place, and then not only will our symptoms be gone, but we'll add years to our life as well.
Lydia from California wants to know about neuropathy, this pain in her feet and toes.
That's awful, awful. That's one of the most miserable things that a person can experience, and it's so tragic. It's inflammation. It's tragic because it's so unnecessary. Neuropathy simply means a pathology or a sickness of the nerves. And once again, we come to the simple ideas that are behind all disease. And that's really what we're talking about here. Scientists call this simplexity. Simplexity is the notion that underneath complexity is simple, are simple building blocks. And the body is built this way as well. Behind all disease, you will find inflammation. Neuropathy is inflammation of the nerves. What is the cause of inflammation? Well, inflammation, as we said earlier, is a protective response. Inflammation is a sign that something has gotten into the body inappropriately. It is no accident that neuropathy and diabetes go hand in hand, because one of the major toxins, as we've said, is sugar. One of the major ways and chronic toxins that get into the body over and over again is sugar. So reducing your sugar intake is absolutely job number one if you're dealing with neuropathy, as well as using nutrients that help your body process the sugar, the B complex and niacin and chromium and vanadium and selenium and sulfur. There's a whole ream of supplements that can help you process sugar. Then you've got to take care of the first point on the triangle of disease, which is the stuff that's getting into the system, and that is patching up the gut using probiotics, bone soup, mucilaginous substances like seaweed and hyaluronic acid, as well as an amino acid called glutamine, which is incredibly important for all digestive health issues. Glutamine is found in high-protein foods as well as in bone soup. That's how you deal with neuropathy. And the last piece of the puzzle, as always, is making sure that your body is relaxed and oxygenated. And practicing, this is another very important health strategy for folks who are dealing with neuropathy or inflammatory pain or chronic health issues, insomnia, is learning to slow, deep, rhythmically breathe. And the rhythm is very important, as well as the depth and the slowness. The combination of slow, deep, and rhythmic breathing calms the body down, activates what's called what we call the parasympathetic nervous system, as well as what's called the alpha state. You've probably heard of the alpha state, the alpha brainwave state, right? There's four brainwaves, alpha brainwaves and beta brainwaves and theta and delta. The alpha brainwave state is activated by rhythm, especially slow rhythm. In fact, if you're trying to go to sleep at night, you have insomnia, you can activate the alpha state, which is a kind of groggy brainwave state, simply by watching your breath and rhythmically breathing slowly and deeply. This is a great strategy for people who are dealing with hypertension. In fact, if you are on a blood pressure medicine and you have a blood pressure cuff, take your blood pressure cuff and do a baseline blood pressure measurement, and then practice slow, deep, rhythmic breathing for 5 minutes and watch what happens to your blood pressure. Take your measurement again. It'll drop like a stone much more effectively than the hypertensive that you're taking.
So if you have type 2 diabetes, does that mean you can't have a candy bar ever?
No, it doesn't mean that at all. You can definitely have a candy bar, but you can't have a lot of candy bars. And you have to make sure that you're drinking a lot of water and doing your supplements after you have that candy bar. So your body can handle sugar. George, the body can handle poison.
You need sugar.
What's that?
You need sugar.
But, I mean, it can even handle excess sugar. It can handle poison. The body's equipped to handle poison. The body's equipped to deal with survival. The problem is we put too much burden on it. So the body can handle a little bit of toxicity. The body can handle sugar. The body can deal with cancer. The body can handle inflammation. It can handle stress, the stresses of life. But what we've done is we've created a culture where it's too much. We've overloaded this incredibly resilient and flexible and intelligent system that we call the human body. It's just too much for it to handle. But yes, indeed, you can do a candy bar, and you can interact with poisons, and you can have stresses in your life. But it's the burden and it's the overload that you have to watch out for.
So I needed, to supplement with good minerals. I've been taking the Tangy Tangerine tablets.
That's a great
The powder's great, but the tablets are so convenient.
They're great for traveling with.
Oh, my gosh. And I travel all the time.
Right. They're great for traveling with. After you do a candy bar, by the way, George, drink a bunch of water. You'll dilute your blood sugar.
All right. Interesting. You feel guilty if you do travel or go somewhere and you don't supplement. If you get out of your regimen, you feel guilty about it.
Your body's wise, and it's sending you signals. It's telling you, George, where's my vitamin C? I mean, the body is intelligent.
Huh.
George, listen, if you have a vice, say your vice is cigarettes or candy bars or McDonald's or whatever it is.
Baby Ruth candy bars,
Baby Ruth,
I guess,
okay.
Would be,
Baby Ruth,
yeah, that
okay.
Would be my Achilles
okay,
heel.
Here's the deal. Next time you want a Baby Ruth, George, do this. Take the Baby Ruth candy bar, okay, and unwrap it very slowly, all right?
All right.
And then raise it to your mouth very slowly, very slowly.
Are you trying to torture me?
Now listen, listen. You raise it slowly, and you're going to hear this voice in the back of your head go, "No, don't do it, George." It'll say that to you, and you're going to ignore it, because we all ignore it.
Of course.
But that voice is there. It's called the still small voice, and it's the voice of wisdom that tells us to turn right or turn left.
It's the smart part of me.
It's the smart part of us. And that when we say we feel guilty, what we're experiencing is not listening to that still small voice that tells us everything we need to know.
Let's go to Jeff in Indianapolis. Hey, Jeff, you're up with Pharmacist Ben.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, last Friday, after a long put off, my 34-year-old stepson went to the doctor. They did the blood work up. He came up hypercalcemia. They said, get him to the hospital. Of course, we were thinking the parathyroid gland, or praying it was the parathyroid gland, but the CT scan showed half a centimeter spots in his lungs, liver.
How old is he?
34.
Okay.
34.
Any kidney problems or diabetes or anything like that?
Well, his sugar was up. And
that's where you're looking. It sounds like a kidney problem following the blood sugar. Remember, all roads lead to this triangle of disease, starting with the digestive system and then the blood sugar system and then the oxygen, the adrenal thyroid complex relaxing the body. But that sounds like he's going into some serious diabetic stuff. Is he overweight?
No. He lost about 70 pounds in 6 months.
Okay, but he was overweight.
Not too bad, though.
Pounds. Well, here's the deal. He's got a blood sugar problem, and it sounds like it's starting to get worse. So what you want to start doing, see, the kidneys are very responsive. When you get a blood sugar problem, the first stop in the disease process is the kidneys, because the kidneys are filtering the blood, and once sugar starts to accumulate in the blood, it damages lots of things, and the kidneys have very fine tubules. So kidney disease is the next step after blood sugar problems. So you got to clean the blood. You know, at dialysis and kidney disease, these are epidemics. And what they're caused by is dirty blood. And the major cause of dirty blood is sugar and digestive toxicity. So cleaning out the blood is job number one. He needs to be on a diabetic-type diet, reducing his sugar intake dramatically. That means, of course, bread and pasta and cereals and whole grains or grains in general, in addition to desserts and fruit juices, using nutrients that help the body process the sugar. You notice we're just repeating ourselves over and over again because it's the same basic ideas here. And then working on the digestive system, doing a food diary, looking for problems with the digestive process, whether it's heartburn or gas or bloating or diarrhea, constipation, discomfort after foods. All of these are signals that something is getting into the body through foods that the body doesn't like. So looking for digestive problems, eliminating problem foods, patching up the gut, making sure you're stabilizing the blood sugar, and then, of course, relaxing the body and practicing your slow, deep breathing. That's what I'd be doing. You can also chelate or magnetically attract excess calcium out of the blood using things like vitamin C and selenium. They can actually do something called intravenous chelation therapy, which is an amazing treatment for anti-aging. For anybody who's interested in anti-aging, movie stars do it. Folks who have unlimited amount of money do it regularly, but it's good for everybody. You know, we should all be doing it. Chelation therapy, whether it's nutritional or intravenous chelation therapy, that can magnetically attract calcium out of the blood. And then magnesium is nature's natural calcium.
Oh, I love it. And it's great if you have a little palpitation or so. Ben, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you. CriticalHealthNews.com. Make sure you go to the website and take some time looking at it. And if you want to talk to a human being about things that are happening to you, call 1-855-949-7234. Next hour, we'll talk about the occult, so get ready for that. But when we come back, we'll be chatting with Pharmacist Ben and taking your final calls, criticalhealthnews.com, and then the number they've got set up to help you with questions, 1-855-949-RADIO as well. I've got a whole bunch more emails and your calls. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Pharmacist Ben. Ben, we've got a text message in from Matt in Illinois. He says, I get terrible heartburn. I can't even drink water without feeling it. Surprisingly, soda is the only thing that kind of helps the reflux.
Well, yes.
What's going on?
Neutralizing some of that acid. Heartburn is a sign of a couple things. First of all, most importantly, it's a sign you ate the wrong food. That's the most important thing, and the best thing to do when you have heartburn is associate it with specific foods and then don't eat those foods. However, when it gets really severe, even something like water can trigger heartburn. A couple ideas for you. Number one, as it turns out, heartburn is as much as an intestinal issue as it is a stomach issue. So you want to start working on intestinal health, and that's where probiotics and good bacteria come in. You want to make absolutely sure you're on a good probiotic supplement with multiple strains of bacteria. This is very important when you're on a probiotic supplement. You want to look for multiple strains, and you want to look for a bunch of bacteria. 15 to 20 billion units is a good place to be, and you want to be somewhere around 50 billion units or so a day. Making sure you're eating fermented foods can help. An interesting strategy for dealing with heartburn, believe it or not, is apples. Half an apple can sometimes help with heartburn, and then also using something called mastic gum can help symptomatically with heartburn. Finally, a very interesting and somewhat ironic strategy for dealing with heartburn is to make sure you're acidifying the contents of your stomach. It turns out a lot of folks who have heartburn are actually not making enough stomach acid, and believe it or not, George, that's more of a problem, more of a health problem in this country than too much acid. And you wouldn't know that just when you hear all these commercials for antacids, but as it turns out, something called achlorhydria, which is a fancy way of saying you're not making enough stomach acid, is a much more significant problem than making too much stomach acid. And using something like apple cider vinegar can help acidify the contents of your stomach. By the way, apple cider vinegar is one of the all-time great multifunctional supplements, a quintessential example of a easy-to-incorporate supplement that has multiple health benefits. You can also use something called betaine HCl, betaine hydrochloride, which is also a very effective stomach acidification strategy. And if worse comes to worse, you can actually go to a doctor and get a prescription for hydrochloric acid drops, and that can help acidify the stomach. If you're not acidify the contents of the stomach, if you're not making enough stomach acid, not only are you at risk for heartburn, but you're also not going to be able to absorb minerals. You're not going to be able to absorb your B vitamins as effectively. So then you can run into secondary nutritional deficiencies.
All right, my friend, let us go next to Doug in Philadelphia, east of the Rockies. Hey, Doug, you're on with Pharmacist Ben. Go ahead.
Hey there, Doug.
Hey, great. Love the show. Thanks for doing this. You actually just talked about what I was going to ask. I'm actually taking pills every day for acid reflux, and I can't stand the fact that I'm on medication, and I just want to get off it. Yeah. And I've already seen nutritionists. I've seen people. And nobody can give me any solid advice on how to get off the medication and stop with the acid reflux. And it's not heartburn that bothers me. I get something called pharyngospasms.
That's a sign. That's a sign of a body in distress. You want to link those up to specific foods. Do first of all, fast for a couple of days. You'll notice your heartburn symptoms will go away. Then do a food diary and see if you can associate the symptoms to specific foods that you're eating, and then you're going to want to eliminate those foods. Make sure you're on a good probiotic supplement, and I'd be eating things like sauerkraut and miso and tempeh. And then also, making sure you're drinking real vegetable juices with the fiber. This is a very important digestive health strategy for two reasons. Number one, you get the fiber, which is very important for the gut bacteria and to help clean toxins out of the gut, but also vegetables, particularly celery and spinach and green leafy vegetables, provide something called nitrates and nitrites, which many people have heard of as being a problem, and they are a problem when they're in preserved meats, but they're actually incredibly important for the digestive system when they're in natural vegetables. So drinking vegetable juices that you make with a blender or a high-powered blender to keep the fiber is another very important anti-heartburn strategy and also for overall digestive health.
All right, great. Thank you for that. Some more emails in here. Ben, Dave wants to know what he can do diet-wise or supplement-wise. He is a hemodialysis patient.
Clean that blood is what you got to do. Anytime you're dealing with a kidney, you're dealing with dirty blood. And that's the way you got to look at kidney problems, and there's a lot of folks who have them. So you clean the blood with there's three main strategies for cleaning the blood. Number one, digestive. Toxins get into the blood through what's called leaky gut. This causes leaky gut syndrome, and it's extremely common. Patching up the gut by eliminating problem foods and using all the supplements we just talked about, probiotics and glutamine and algaes and hyaluronic acid and cartilage. And I didn't mention aloe vera. That's also a wonderful way to help patch up the gut. stabilize the blood sugar. Make sure you're staying away from foods that spike your sugar and spike your insulin. You know, the usual suspects, the grains and the pastas and the rice and the potatoes and the desserts and the fruit juices. And then make sure you're oxygenating the blood through slow, deep breathing techniques and relaxation. I didn't mention muscular relaxation. When the musculature is relaxed, the body's parasympathetic or healing nervous system kicks in. So things like massage or even progressive relaxation where you start with your toes and work all the way up your body, contracting the muscles and then relaxing them. Hot water is a wonderful way to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, the healing nervous system, and to oxygenate the body. Immersion in hot tubs or hot showers. I love the idea that a simple thing like a hot bath or a hot shower can lower your blood pressure, improve oxygenation, and activate your body's healing response. So dialysis patients, kidney patients, focus on cleaning the blood and making sure that you're oxygenating and activating that parasympathetic relaxation nervous system. And I know I say these things over and over again, but these are the fundamental causes of all chronic health issues. And once we understand that all our chronic diseases, our 12,800 different diseases, according to the World Health Organization, once we understand that they are all substood, underneath them all are the same fundamental causes, we will be liberated from the medical model, which can do absolutely nothing for helping us really deal with chronic degenerative diseases.
Another email in from Sandy. Ben, I have chemical sensitivities. What do I do?
Well, chemical sensitivities are a tough one, but the most obvious thing to do is avoid the chemicals. If you can't avoid the chemicals, then what you got to do is you got to strengthen your body's detoxification system that lives in the liver. Remember, we talked earlier about how the body is exquisitely equipped to deal with toxins. Well, one of the major systems in the body is the detoxification system. It lives in the liver. It goes by the name phase 1 and phase 2 detoxification. And this detoxification system requires nutrients to do its work, particularly something called glutathione, which is a type of protein or small protein, peptide it's called, that's made up of an amino acid called glutamine, which is one of nature's all-time great multifunctional amino acids. You can get that as a supplement. It's also glutathione also contains something called a mineral called sulfur, and it also is activated by the mineral selenium. Copper is important for the detoxification system. Vitamin C is important for the detoxification system. And magnesium is important for the detoxification system. There's a wonderful book by a lady named Sherry Rogers called Tired or Toxic, which contains lots of wonderful information about all these supplements that we just talked about, as well as other strategies that you can use for dealing with chemical sensitivity. And given that, you know, George, there's hundreds of thousands of chemicals out there that didn't exist a mere 150 years ago. And given that we are swimming in an ocean of toxicity, anything we can do to improve our body's detoxification system is going to be in our interest. And the detoxification system, by the way, operates on something called load, meaning there's a straw that breaks the camel's back phenomena, so that every little toxin that we put in our system creates a burden on the body, like a straw on a camel's back, and all of a sudden we'll get one straw or one burden, whether it's pollen or a food toxin or a bacteria or a virus, and the camel's back breaks, and we go into a full-blown chemical sensitivity syndrome. So reducing the load on the body is unbelievably important, and keep in mind, prescription drugs act like a load on the detoxification system camel.
All right, let's take a few calls, and then I've got more emails as we wrap things up. Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Wayne. Go ahead.
Hey, Wayne.
Good evening, Gentleman George and pharmacist. Hello. Dan. How are we doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I'm wanting to find out that you've talked about the different cartilages and that, and I'm wanting to find out what's the best ground or powdered cartilage product you can take, maybe something that is...
In terms of names of products, you mean?
With my chicken that I eat, I just cut off the cartridge, freeze it, and grind it up and put it in the chicken.
Brilliant.
But,
brilliant.
Is there a better,
no,
is
that's
there something
genius.
Else to take it along with that would make it maybe make more sure, absorbable?
Yeah, yeah. Make sure you use vitamin C with it. You always want vitamin C with your cartilage.
Okay.
So that's brilliant that you're doing that. Yeah, who told you how to do that?
Yeah, and you hit on something in relaxing the body, because I went through a series of several attacks, gallbladder attacks, and And I finally found out that if I got into a warm bath immediately after having a gallbladder attack, that went away instantly.
Isn't that amazing how something as simple as a warm bath, right? You could have gone, if you went to a doctor, there's a good chance you would have lost that gallbladder. And all you needed was a bath.
You know what happened? I was taking a herbal product that shrinks the stones, and it did a fantastic job. The only problem was they all kind of got loose at the same time, and it plugged up.
That's not a good thing.
The gallbladder, they had to go in.
Ouch.
Suck them all out, you know. And I thought I was good for another 20 years. Well, a year later, I had another gallbladder attack. And, you know, pain is just terribly painful. So I went up to UW, and they did a 3D sonic. And the girl says, you've got all types of, stones in there. So I said, well, I've got to have the surgery. So I went and had the surgery. And the doctor said afterwards, he said, you didn't have any stones in there at all. All she was reading was your scar tissue.
Oh.
That happens so often. You'd be blood. Man, isn't that amazing?
Jeez.
They cut you open. You know, anytime we're in a surgical procedure, the body thinks it's about to die. The body doesn't know you're in an operating room. It thinks a lion is eating you. So it activates all of the stress response, all the things we just talked about in terms of stress response, especially blood clots. By the way, blood clots are a classic example of a stress response running amok. And that's why they give you blood thinners after you come out of surgery. But that happens a lot, George. That's a scary thing.
It sure is. We're going to Niagara Falls, Canada here. Natalie wants to know via email. She's got psoriasis, has had it since the day she was born.
Oh, that's terrible. Psoriasis is an autoimmune condition of the skin. Anytime you hear the word autoimmune, surprise, surprise, you got to focus on the immune system's headquarters, which is in the digestive tract. It's got satellites in the skin. It's got satellites in the blood. But the headquarters of the immune system is in the digestive tract. Anytime you have an autoimmune disease, focus on foods. That means fasting, then the elimination diet, then eliminating foods, then patching up the gut with probiotics and glutamine and aloe vera and cartilage-containing products and algae and hyaluronic acid. There's a whole ton of supplements that you can use to protect the digestive system. Autoimmunity affects tens of millions, maybe 50 million Americans have autoimmune diseases, and almost always you're going to find a digestive component underneath it. A lot of times that digestive component affects the hormone estrogen, so using things like bile salts and selenium and fiber that can help clean out and deactivate estrogen can also be helpful.
Well, with Ben Fuchs, of course, criticalhealthnews.com, 1-855-949-7234. Next up on our list, of course, we've got Paul in Oxnard, California. First-time caller. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I know how you're doing. I shouldn't have asked it. Good evening, George and Ben. Fellas, I'm completing a book right now, and it's based on... Ben, you're right on. We're on the same page. So that's why I called in. I never called in before. And I'm 68 years old, and I don't know anybody as healthy as I am. I mean, I don't know anybody 48 who's as healthy as I am. And it's athletic. Are you guys getting this?
Yes. What do you attribute it to, Paul?
Well, I'll tell you. That's what I attribute it to in the first half of my life, having been a mess. And by default, I learned how to do a lot of things naturally from the time I was age 10. Because I didn't come from a family with money, and I never wanted to bother them with medical things. And we were kind of raised pretty tough in New York. And so I just started using some common sense. And as I got older, you know, for example, I had a severe hernia when I was 10 years old. And rather than tell my parents, I started wearing a truss. Just using something went down, it was going to come up. You know what I mean? So even at that age, I started researching this stuff. And as I got older, I then became more interested and majored in physical education and so on and so forth. But I still went through a lot of injuries and a lot of insults at the time because, you know, you're a meat eater at the time. That's the in thing. And, of course, I drank and I smoked and did everything else. And I had so many ailments and illnesses that I cured naturally because I just didn't have – I have great respect for the medical profession. Don't get me wrong. They've saved my life.
Well, I do too.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they saved my life when I was 29. Penicillin, I probably would have had My legs amputated. I had chronic blood poisoning and severe cellulitis. Now, 11 years ago, I was in an accident on horseback.
All right, almost out of time here, though, Paul. So I got
to. Okay, let me make. There's a point I want to make here, guys. There's another aspect to it that I think is really important, and that is, and I allude to this in my book. I more than allude to it. Is that a disease also has to be dealt with as if it has a mentality that wants to attack you, and you've got to turn a corner on it. Then you've got to throw it a changeup, or if it expects a curve, you've got to throw it a fastball. And this is where I think macrobiotics is a big winner, because they don't just clean the blood and put in the effective nutrients, but they also have you change the pattern of your life so that it confuses.
All right, quick thoughts, Ben?
Pattern interrupt. That's called pattern interrupt. And it's a very important strategy for muscle building, and Paul is right on, actually. You got to break the pattern, and the body can't be too complacent. You got to give the body a little bit of a curveball, as he says, and he's absolutely right on. But the bottom line here to this whole thing, George, is that there are simple, common sense things that we can do if we're not feeling as good as we should, as we could be, and as we know we should be. And the medical model and medical intervention for chronic long-term degenerative diseases cannot even touch common sense ideas like nutritional supplementation, dietary strategies, relaxing the body, cleaning the blood using your blood sugar strategies, and mental and emotional techniques and spirituality. Never underestimate the power of those very fundamental aspects of livingness for healing. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, use some common sense, approach the triangle of disease, and there's no chronic degenerative diseases, none, that cannot begin to reverse themselves immediately.
John writes, ankylosing spondylitis.
Basically, it's I love that one.
Rapid pulses or
no,
what?
No, ankylosing spondylitis is when the musculoskeletal system gets all twisted and contorted. It's a type of arthritis, and it involves the inflammation. And whenever you have inflammation, you've got something that's getting into the body that shouldn't be. This is compounded by the right things not getting into the body. Do your food diary or fast first. You'll notice that your symptoms start to improve. Your pain, anyway, will start to improve once you fast for a couple of days. Reintroduce food carefully. Do a food diary. Interestingly, when you introduce food in your food diary, you want to start off with your favorite foods, because your favorite foods are usually the ones that are causing the problems. And then you eliminate foods that make your symptoms worse. Work on the digestive tract using probiotics and fermented foods. The amino acid glutamine, all the things we talked about today. Clean out the blood by stabilizing the blood sugar, using the B vitamins, chromium, vanadium, keeping your intake of foods that spike the blood sugar down, and then relaxing the body. This is the same thing over and over and over again. It's the triangle of disease, and you combat it by working on digestive health, by avoiding sugar and stabilizing and using nutrients that stabilize blood sugar, relaxing the body, and getting on a good, solid nutritional supplement.
Excellent, Ben. You're one of a kind, my friend. CriticalHealthNews.com, and here's that toll-free number. People are there now to help you. 1-855-949-7234.